Morning, everyone. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. God is good all the time. Well, friends, it's always great to be back in Penang. And it's also good to see a lot of friends and also to see a lot of new people in the church every time I come. So, again, it's God is good. God has really been working through Every Nation Church Penang amazingly, and it's always nice to see all the pictures that posted in the Facebook, on the church page, pastor's page, how good God is working among Every Nation Church Penang. Yeah, hallelujah. God is good. Yeah. So again, friends, today I'm here to share on discipleship is relationship, and I'm bringing the series to an end. Well, when Pastor spoke to me to share the word on March 17, I said yes. We wanted to come as a family, but, you know, with apologies, things just happened that Deborah and the kids cannot be here. They do bring greetings to you. And we also bring greetings from the church in Cyberjaya. Church in Cyberjaya is a plant church from Every Nation Church, Malaysia. It's growing. And we just want to invite you, you know, whenever you guys are down in KL and on Sunday evening, not sure what to do, come and join us in Cyberjaya at 4:30 in the evening. Just want to thank Pastor and the leaders of the church for giving me the opportunity as well to share the message and bring closure to this series. So if you look at the series, right, I'm sure we remembered how Casey shared on the week one on how following Jesus. And I think the question that really was very important from Casey is, how do we truly follow Jesus? And I think he shared about how we need to go in the offense and not just wait and sit and see what's happening. Yeah. And last week, Pastor spoke on fellowship with others. And when Pastor spoke about fellowship with others, I think Pastor challenged us to look at ourselves and how we actually connect with people, and to see how sometimes when we're not careful, our own negativity, things that we may not realize on pride, exclusivity, how we can make people stumble. So Pastor was cautioning us, you know, when we looked at our relationship with others, it needs to be built on love. Yeah. Now, today, just to bring the series to an end, I'm going to share Fishing for Men. This is a very difficult topic. It can be easy or it can be difficult. If you look at it, we, Every Nation, we are actually very structured in making disciples. Yeah, even our team is honor God and make disciples. So how do you bring a message to fish for men in a church that is very structured on making disciples? You know, we are very organized. Even just now we saw about baptism, victory weekend. We also have so many programs. When we go out, how do we actually connect with people? How do we bring people to know God? So how do you actually bring a message on fishing for men? It's not an easy one, if you look at it that way. So when I was preparing this, a lot of challenge from God. And God actually pushed me in different directions. And also at the right time, He gave the right devotions that I myself was doing personally, and also where to go and how to what to bring today. So I think for me, what God spoke to me when I was preparing this, right, it's all about where's our heart with God when we actually want to do discipleship. And following on from what Pastor have shared, Casey have shared, so it's more about how do we activate ourselves today. That's what God gave me. And what I intend to bring, I hope it's not new, or it might be new, or it may actually help us to look at things a little bit different and help us to actually engage maybe in a bit differently, or even to look at the way we engage now and say, yeah, this is what I'm doing and this is what exactly we need to continue to do. So before we go into the word, let me share with you the key theme verse for today. That it's from Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 2. But I do encourage you guys, if you have your Bible or if you have your digital Bibles, please keep bit open with you. Actually, the entire text is from Luke 10, 1 to 20, but I decided to use just the first two verses in order to set the scene, and then we can go on from there. Yeah? Now, verse 1, it says, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out the laborers into the harvest. Let's pray as the word says. Yeah? Let's pray. Let's bow our head and pray. Father in heaven, we just want to thank you that you have brought us together in the house of the Lord. Let this time where we meditate on your word be pleasing to you. Will remind us how we need to follow you and how you want us to go out there and make disciples for you. May every word that comes from my mouth be pleasing to you and remind us of who you are and your love for us. In Jesus' name we pray and ask. Amen. Right, friends, you know, when I wanted to prepare this, right, like I said, we are a very structured church when we talk about making disciples. So how do I do the introduction? Even the introduction, I was struggling. I thought maybe I talk about fishing, then used fishing as an analogy. Then I thought, maybe that's not what I should do. Maybe that's not exactly how I actually come today to start sharing the message that the Lord has. Then when I was preparing, I heard a voice in my head that keep telling me, go to the coach, I have what you need to start the sharing. So when I went to the quote, God gave me these two quotes that I wanted to just share with you. The first one is actually from C.S. Lewis, right? It goes something like this. This is what C.S. Lewis said, right, about discipleship. The church exists for nothing else but to draw men into Christ, to make them little Christ. If they are not doing that, all the cathedrals, clergy, missions, sermon, even the Bible itself are simply waste of time. God became man for no other purpose. So when Christ came, there's only one purpose, to get all of us to actually mirror Christ, to become little Christ, and go out and make more little Christ. In other words, we are just called to follow Christ. So whatever structures that we have around us, you know, whatever that we do, whatever, you know, our personal devotions, our prayers, our activities in Christ, the things that we do in church, the next step of it is if we don't go out and make disciples, then we are really not doing what Christ called. So if we need a bigger purpose in our lives, right, to know what is the reason why we need to make disciples, you know, this couldn't give a better clarity than that, I thought. Yeah, it's very clear. We are here to go out and bring many to make them to be Christ-like. Yeah, and then when they are in Christ-like, I'm sure Christ has a purpose for them in their lives, for them to go out and even they themselves to make disciples. That's how we grow. Yeah, and that's how Christ's family becomes bigger. Yeah. Now, the second one is from the late Pastor Timothy Keller. I think if we have a chance, right, we should look at his story life, why he chose Manhattan, why he actually was there. And one of his books that I really enjoyed reading is The Prodigal God. We know the prodigal son, and he actually used that entire parable and wrote a book called The Prodigal God. So, you know, this is very strong from him, and I think it's very, very good reminder for all of us. It goes something like this. Discipleship is not an option. Yeah. So if we think we come to church, you know, we enjoy the worship, if we think that, you know, we connect, we do our Bible studies, we spend time doing activities in church, remain connected, LGs, it's not enough if we don't do discipleship. Because that is what Jesus came to do. And we must follow him. And he has actually called us to follow him. So I think this is a very simplified or very, very straight to the point. Like, we have to go out and make disciples. It's not an option. So as a result, right, you know, when we look at the thought process for this, The key here is, how do I activate? You know, how do we can activate? So when I look at the text, or when I was preparing from the text, God gave me a few things that he just wanted us to think about. So allow me to share some of these thoughts that he actually gave us today to think about. Now, the first one is, of course, when we want to go out and make disciples, it has to do a lot of preparatory work. So if you look at the way Christ sent the 12 out, then the 72 out, even Jesus spent time preparing them. Jesus spent time making sure they are prepared to do this. So when we look at it, right, even us, when we want to actually go out and make disciples, we do need to do a bit of preparatory work. Now, when I look at the first two verses, what God gave to me is three things that we should consider when we actually doing this preparatory work. Number one, partnering. So if you look at it, Christ sent them out two by two. Now, in our context, even if you look at now, I think it's fantastic if we can go out two by two, because we can support each other when we actually go out to make disciples, one. And if I look at the way we should be connected, if we talk about partnering, even we have come to a point where our, if you may, the technology, the support systems, the way we work, we don't need a pigeon to send a message to someone. Yeah, we don't depend on physical newspapers. We depend a lot on social media to connect and catch up. And sometimes you find, even my children are amazing. Sometimes when we gather together at LG, they sit in small groups, the children are playing, and they don't communicate physically. They communicate through Roblox. Yeah. So when you talk, you're actually talking to each other, but it's in Roblox. So it's going to a very different way of communicating. So when we talk about partnering, right, even if we want to go out and make disciples, it's not being alone. It's actually that partnering to the church and through the Holy Spirit. So meaning to say, it's an illustration, right? Let's say if I want to go out and make disciples, I want to meet someone to share with him about Christ. The connection is the church behind me, my LG, my family that's supporting me. So it's partnering with the entire background behind me is how I should do it before I actually speak to someone on Christ. And that is exactly the advantage of us being in a church. Yeah, it's the partnering with each other when we wanted to go out and make disciples, one. Just like how Christ sent out the two by two, but he still keep them connected with them. Yeah, it's the same way we need to do, which is keep connecting with the Holy Spirit. Second one is the prayer chain. This is very important, and I also think it's the most fundamental. And when we want to go out, right, and when we want to share the word, we want to share the gospel, we want to connect with someone, I believe that prayer starts all of it. And if you look at what Christ told them, the harvesters are few. Pray that the Lord of the harvest will send out more. So that is an indication that Christ wants us to pray, or the prayer chain is very critical. Allow me to illustrate this a little bit. A lot of us may not be the most fantastic person or is able to connect with people very easily. So I read a story, a very nice story, about a church that wanted to do campus ministry. And that this very senior lady, she put up a hand and said, I want to connect with the campus students. I want to go out and make disciples. So this lady actually went out and connected, but she was not able to connect because of challenges of, if you may, the generational gap, the age factor, and this and that. But this gift of this lady is actually prayer. And they know in church, whenever she prays for something, everything happens, yeah, according to her prayer. So what the church did was, they kept her part of the campus ministry. But every time somebody wants to talk to a student in campus, they will tell her, okay, I'm going to talk to this person at this time, at this location, pray for me. So her role for the campus ministry is to pray for that person while the person is engaging someone. And true enough, by God's amazing work, every time this happens, that person actually get connected and come to know Christ. So friends, today, when I look at us, you know, including me, we are all at a different age zones. Sometimes the way we need to connect with people is a little bit different. Just like what I shared, sometimes when you want to communicate with people, nowadays social media works faster than actually verbal. And like it or not, the dynamics are changing. So when it comes to maybe engaging someone, it's actually that prayer chain is as critical as that physical connection as well. So let's say if, for instance, Darren decides to, in his campus ministry, to engage someone and talk about Christ, the prayer chain that follows him, yeah, is as critical. So I would say that one of the things that we need to equip ourselves is that prayer chain to continuously pray when somebody is actually out there engaging. And this is where those of us who go out and engaging is also critical to get the prayer partners to support us. It makes a lot of difference. Yeah. And then the other thing that I was actually amazed when I was preparing this is positioning. Now, if we look at the Bible verse, right, the text, it clearly says that, verse 1, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. I think that last part, he himself about to go, is very important for us to consider. Now, take a little bit of reflection. When we position ourselves where we want to go, it's very critical for us to know that Christ is behind us, and it's definitely our role is to open way for Christ to speak to him, to whoever the person that we may actually engage or whoever the group that we decide to engage. Now, allow me to share a little testimony from our own space in Cyberjaya. September last year, we decided we wanted to actually go out and connect with more people in Cyberjaya to actually say there is a Every Nation Church Cyberjaya, and we want to welcome as many people as who wants to come to know Christ. So we went very traditional. We actually started giving pamphlets. And we actually decided that might be the best course of connecting people in Cyberjaya. So imagine LGs, you know, young working adults, even campus LGs, even family LGs, together with our children, we actually went into different locations to give the pamphlets, the flyers, this and that, on telling where the church is, what time we start, and this one. Now, amazingly, maybe in September, we were around 30 strong. Today, if we look at the average attendance to church, it's about 60. It's almost double up. God is amazing. And if you look at how it happened, right, it's not when you talk to people, they say, "Ah, I saw you in social media." And if you actually Google church in Cyberjaya, the first hit is Every Nation Church Cyberjaya. Yeah. And then some say, "I looked at you in social media, this and that." But no one really mentioned the word pamphlet or the flyer I saw. No. But you know, when we actually sit down and reflect, it's not about the pamphlet or the flyers. No. It's about the position of our heart. Whether we actually wanted to go out and connect with people and bring people to know God. So once we had the mindset, this is what we want, and this is what God wants us to do. So where we went, for surely he went there. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. So friends, so today if we want to position ourselves, it's about knowing how, where, and how what God wants to do, or where he wants us to position ourselves to go. It's not about counting how many I've given out or how many social connections we've got, this and that. It's about the positioning of our heart how we actually want to connect with people. And when we are ready with that, surely and truly, God will go there as well. Amen. Yeah. Now, so more or less, this is what I saw as some of the preparatory work that we probably have to look at how we want to connect with someone and how God needs to work. Christ needs to work with us in this preparatory work. Now, just to strengthen this further, just a few verses you may want to actually reflect when you're at home. John 15, 16, for partnering, it says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you." This is a Bible verse that's very dear to me, because when I started the year, this is exactly the same Bible verse that Christ gave me. And it's a reminder, I believe, that he chose us for us to go out and bear fruit. So, yeah, amen. Now, 1 Peter 2:9, also about partnering, it says we are a chosen race and a royal priesthood. So we are called to actually be a holy nation and to proclaim whom he is out there. Yeah? So we are appointed as a royal priesthood. And that's also a reminder to us how important it is to remain partnering with Christ. Now, when we talk about prayer, I mentioned about the lady and how important is prayer. Let me just share with you this verse, right? Matthew 18, 19 to 20. "Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them." That's how important prayer is when we actually engage people. So friends, today I think the campus ministers, you know, the young working adults, even if you go out and when you engage people, engage the church to pray for you, that your meeting with that person will be successful, because you go not then with just your prayer, but the prayer of two or three is behind you. And Christ has promised where two or three is gathered to pray in one heart, he will definitely bless. Amen. Now, allow me to go to second one that Christ gave me, posture. Now, when we talk about posture, right, what's very nice about this whole passage is Christ actually taught them on some of the postures that they need to have as disciples when they actually go out to make disciples. The first one, if you look at verses 4 to 6, it talks about humility with courage. Now, in an age where we probably, I'm sure we would have seen movies, right, with people packing bags and bags of, you know, clothes, whatever is the essential when they want to go for vacation, Christ told them, go, don't pack anything extra, just go. Yeah, and he actually told them, when you go, you know, don't greet anyone on the road. You'll be thinking, why don't greet anyone on the road? Because in their culture, Jewish culture, when they greet someone, it's a long conversation. So he said, okay, it's a matter of urgency. So in that sense, don't be diverted to the left or right. Just go, because you have an objective to achieve. And whichever house that you go in that welcomes you, stay there. Don't move around. And don't pick on what you want to eat, this and that, whatever is given, just, you know, enjoy this and that. So in another sense, Christ is actually teaching them, serve with humility. Yeah. And then if you look at verse 6, right, it says, "As if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him, but if not, it will return to you." Yeah. So basically Christ is saying, go, approach. Go somewhere with courage, but have the humility. Don't go in with your, you know, suitcases. Sometimes we also hear in sometimes how big evangelists, they land in cars with a lot of security guards before they go into a stadium to share this and that. I think what Christ is trying to say is, just come as who you are. Yeah, just have the courage to show up. I will do the rest in order to speak through you. That's exactly what he's saying. And then when he say, don't bring this, don't bring that, this and that, basically he's trying to say, keep your mind focused on what is your objective and why you are there. It's not about the things that you bring, because then you start focusing on other things. So I think the first posture that God spoke to me from verses 4 to 6 is actually humility with courage. And this is something that's not easy to accomplish. If you look at Jesus and he said, I came to serve, not to be served. And if you look at Christ, he carried himself with a lot of humility throughout his ministry on earth, 3.5 years. He didn't say, I'm the Son of God, so you got to serve me. He said, I'm the Son of God, I'm here to serve you. And that's the type of humility we need to have. So when we have this type of humility, I think our posture of conversation will also change a lot. Instead of a lot of telling what to do, we may end up asking a lot of things to try to understand, and also trying to understand who the person is, what's the need, what is the background, and that will give us an opportunity how we should actually engage this person to help this person know Christ better. Yeah. Now, content versus condition. If you look at verses 7 to 9, right, it goes something like this. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town, they receive you. Eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in the town and say, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Yeah. It's not focused about our livelihood. Yeah, basically, that's what Christ is saying. Don't go there. You know, we're looking for fancy foods, looking for something interesting to do, this and that. The primary objective is the content that we have that we want to share. So it can be the shabbiest condition where we meet someone. It might be the smallest kopitiam, or it might be the smallest little mama restaurant, or it might be just in our homes, or it might be just in a place where it's just comfortable, because it's not about the space, it's not about the location, it's not about what's set in front of us, it's basically the connection and the content of what Christ has for that person. I think that's the second one that Christ challenged me when I was preparing this. A lot of times we spend time not ready with the content, but we're ready to connect. So Christ is also reminding us, it's also we need to prepare with the content when we meet someone. Yeah. The third one, messenger versus judging. This is really hard on me when I prepared this. Verse 10, it says, but whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into the streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. If I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Now, what Christ, I believe, is trying to teach his disciples is, you have no right to pronounce judgment. Yeah? When you speak to someone, and if the person does not accept or does not willing to listen to us, it's not our place to tell, okay, God is going to judge you, or the kingdom of heaven is far from you, or God is not going to accept you, or God is not. Our role is only one thing, to show Christ's love. That judgment, whether it takes place or not, it's not us, it's for Christ to actually carry out. So friends, sometimes we have to accept, even all of us have this problem. Before we meet someone, we already have a preconceived idea about that person. Sometimes when we want to talk to that person based on the way the person responds, we're already thinking at the back of our mind some form of, you know, conclusion, who the person is, this and that. And all those are the things that exactly we need to keep out. I think our role is actually just to keep on sharing Christ's love. And that's not an easy one, because that means it's a complete thought change from us, not hearing what our logic is saying, but actually hearing what Christ speaking through the Spirit in us when we actually engage someone. Yeah, that's why I believe prayer is very important before we start any engagement. Well, I think this is where our own journey is when we want to grow on a posture. It's not about something that we attain tomorrow. It's about that journey that we walk with Christ on how we ourselves keep on adjusting ourselves. Humility with courage, yeah? And learning to be more content of Christ, content oriented than our own content. And also learning to separate ourselves from judging and just purely giving Christ's love. Now, when I came to this, my next struggle was, how do I come to the conclusion? How do I go to the next one that I should share? I knew what I need to share, but I just couldn't think how to put it down. And that's where Christ took me to my own... every night when I'm back in KL, I try to spend time doing devotion on a writing by Oswald Chambers. I'm sure some of you would have read. Some of you would have actually taken time to do his devotion. It's called My Utmost for His Highest. For those who have not, I would encourage that you try to do it. It's difficult. It's very old language, English. Very old English. Some they have modernized. But it's actually worthwhile to take time. So don't rush. You know, if you take a little bit of time, it opens a lot of our thought on who we are. How do we serve? Where's our level of humility? And do we really serve to be, you know, recognized? Or do we serve because Christ, we want to be in a relationship with Christ? It challenges in a lot of ways. So my last thought, right, is actually the returns. So when we actually go out and we actually connect with people, actually we share about Christ, when we talk about discipleship, what is the return for us? Yeah, I'm sure all of us, we work. We also want the return. When we look, come 26th of every month, we see the return. We are glad that we have done a 1 month's worth of work. In the same way, I'm sure when we go out and we meet people and we come back, we ask ourselves, what's the return? So this is where I wanted to just take his quote and also talk about usefulness versus relationship. Now, the central point of the kingdom of Jesus Christ is a personal relationship with him, not public usefulness to others. Yeah. What is he trying to say? Now, for those of us who may be interested to find out my utmost for highest what it means, this usefulness versus relationship is actually a title of his devotion on August the 30th. Yeah. Now, as I mentioned, my struggle was how do I bring it to a close? And while I was thinking about this, this is the devotion that I did. And the devotion is actually based on Luke 10, verse 20, which pretty much ends this entire passage. And the verse 20 goes something like this. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Now, what does that mean? Yeah. Now, these disciples were coming back and they were sharing how they went. The Spirit left people. They healed people. They managed to, just connect with people. But they were starting to measure what they did by the miracles that they accomplished. Yeah. And this is where then Christ said, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And what does that actually mean? So when I was going through the devotion, right, I think what challenged me most is we all have this habit. Yeah, when we come, when we meet people, when we get very happy, we come and start measuring. Wow, that guy was so happy that I managed to talk to him. Wow, it's so nice that I managed to tell him something about Christ. It's so nice that, you know, he actually understood what I said. We start measuring what we start doing. Or if we have a bad one, right, we say, oh, what did I go wrong? What did I do not right? What did I miss? We start going the other opposite. Now, but I think when we meet, we connect, when we share about Christ, when we come back and reflect, I believe what usefulness versus relationship here truly means is the first thing that we have to ask ourselves is how close it brought me to Christ today. How much more I am knowing Christ working in my life. how much more I know Christ is shaping me. It's not about how much I've done this, I've done that. If we do that, then we have already measured what we have done. Now, I would encourage friends that if you have time, do have a look at least at this devotion, because it gives us a little bit of a thought what it truly means to go out and make disciples in our own lives, how that then can change our relationship with Christ. Now, just to end on this point, 1 Corinthians 3:6 to 11, it talks about Paul, how he planted the seeds, Silas watered, this and that. And finally, he says in verse 11, no one can lay unless God himself has laid it down. End of the day, the field belongs to Christ. It doesn't belong to us. End of the day, we are all workers in his field. End of the day, the measure of that work in the field is our relationship with Christ. It's not about how many people that I put in somewhere, or how many people that I brought into church, how many people that I've actually put into my LG, how many LGs have actually separated. End of the day, in all those activities, what matters, the true measure, is our relationship with Christ. Amen. Now, last one. What can I leave with you, with everyone today, friends? I'm sure we have our LGs coming up in the coming week. Some thoughts that we can actually take and reflect on. Now, the first set of series we actually did, being set apart. And the key verse was actually from Peter. And the summary of that verse basically is, you know, I am holy, so be holy. Yeah. Now, for us, if we actually want to measure ourselves, but we just should reflect on where we are. The key question today also is, if we want to go out and make disciples, we got to be set apart for him. And for that, we need to ask ourselves, are we willing to be holy because he's holy? And I think that is a very good discussion to just revisit a little bit when we actually have our discussions. The second one, are we willing to have complete abandonment in Christ? Again, this is something that Christ is challenging me through my own devotions when I actually do those devotions. Some key verses that I just want to share very quickly. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That is the complete abandonment God had for us. That his only son, he allowed him to suffer and die on the cross so that we can have a relationship with God. Psalm 23 verse 1 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Because God is my shepherd, I don't want anything. Christ is sufficient. If you look at Philippians 3, 7 to 8, it goes like this. But whatever I had, I counted as a loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. So Paul, whatever he's learned, whatever he's got, everything is rubbish for him. The only thing that he sees is that he has gained Christ. So that's the complete abandonment Paul has. So today, if we want to go out and make disciples, one of the challenges in our own lives is, are we willing to be completely abandoned into Christ? Yeah. Last one, are we willing to be poured out? Yeah. Jesus says, our heart will flow like rivers of living water when he's in us. And for all the blessings, the word, the understanding of what we know, it makes us, what it takes to make disciples, the fellowships, the relationships, the knowing of God, who we are, we cannot keep it contained within ourselves. It needs to be a river of flowing water. That's exactly what it means being a disciple. We cannot hold back anything. Whatever we receive, we need to keep giving to everyone and to make many disciples. So friends, this is some thoughts just for us to end this series. I don't have magic. I don't have, you know, pivotal solutions. I don't have concrete answers for things. But what I do know is this. Our relationship with Christ matters. How we go out and speak of Christ, it reflects on how Christ is working in our lives. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just want to thank you that you have reminded us, that you have called us to go out, honor you, and make disciples. Lord, none of us are perfect. None of us knows how you are going to intend to use us. Help us to remember that the best way for us to know how you want to use us is to have that constant, intimate relationship with you. And through that relationship, help us to be willing to be poured out of living waters to be a blessing to be others. Help us also to learn to engage in communal prayer and capture on the promises where two or three is gathered together in one heart. You are with us and you will give us everything. And help us to learn to engage and make disciples through your word and through prayer and through a constant connection in you. In Jesus' name we pray and ask. Amen.